gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Election Day, everybody. All right. I took a long time in my closet deciding on the Barack the Vote or to go with the original 2008 Magic, and I decided on that.
You spent a lot of time in your
right?
closet.
And you asked me yesterday.
Decades. What?
You said, are we going back to, we're not going to take it anymore if Obama loses? And what? I said, la, 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 la. I'm not jinxing. We're not losing. We're going to 2008. Nate Silver says, Barack Obama? Chance of winning 91.4%.
But
as of this morning, but only if you vote.
That's right. His forecast will only come true if you vote
and if they count the votes.
Okay, Jim. Let's not start with that. Let's start with go Obama. Yay, go vote. Go to your. Okay. All right. Is Mercury retrograde yet, or you're just incompetent? My sister, by the way, called yesterday. She was canvassing for Obama, and she couldn't get through. She said, are you that popular? I'm like, yes, I am.
Why, yes.
Why didn't you just call my cell phone? But she's out. She's poll watching today.
Oh.
She's watching you in North Carolina.
Okay.
All right.
Watching you.
Exactly. All right. So that was the happy clappy news. Now. I'm nervous. Well, you said Ohio. You're nervous.
There are some shenanigans going on
yes.
in Ohio. With
We will talk to Charlie Pierce later.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
They mailed out provisional ballots to everybody in Ohio, and that means that pretty much everything has to be double-checked there. So we may not be getting results from Ohio tonight, maybe not even tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Charlie Pierce is saying, I mean, there just has been such a systematic effort by these Republican governors to suppress the vote that it just, that obviously it is a little nerve-wracking.
Right.
And that's why you need to go vote. Did we mention we need to go vote today in such huge numbers? For instance, Ohio Secretary of State accused of installing suspicious software on voting machines.
Huh.
The Columbus Free Press reporting Ohio Secretary of State John Husted, that guy, allegedly ordered experimental software patches. I wonder what they could be experimenting with.
Yeah.
To be installed on vote counting machines in a number of Ohio counties.
So that Romney votes count triple.
Election day is not the time to experiment.
They're usually used to update or change existing software. It could potentially affect over 4 million registered voters, including those who live in Columbus and Cleveland. Hmm. Ohio law allows for experimental use of voting equipment as long as it's restricted to a limited number of precincts and under the experimental label.
A Democratic precincts.
Can be legally used without certification. Oh, well, that certainly inspires confidence. Oh, and right now seems like a good time to be dead.
Yes.
Huh. And this story, South Florida County extends early voting, but only in one Republican stronghold.
Huh.
Oh, that seems so
Happy clappy,
random.
Happy clappy,
that
happy
seems
clappy.
So random. Last night, voters in Miami-Dade were forced to wait in line up to 6 hours to vote. 6 hours. In response, Republican-affiliated election officials in Miami-Dade have effectively extended early voting 1 to 5 p.m. That was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
By allowing in-person absentee voting, but this accommodation would only be available in a single location in the most Republican area of the county.
Yeah.
Huh.
How convenient.
There will not be an opportunity for in-person absentee voting in downtown Miami or South Dade, where there are heavy concentrations of Democratic voters. Once again, my point in saying this is don't let them take your right to vote away. This is the kind of voter suppression stuff.
That's right.
Do not let them get away.
But
too many people have died for this right. You got, because there are people waiting 6 hours, Jim, to make sure that they don't lose their right to vote. And it shouldn't be,
But then what can we do if the machines are going to count
You need to get out. We need to turn out in such numbers that they can't
all right. F with it.
And guess who is on the show to tell us about that? Dear God. Actress Vivica Fox, Cecile Richards, president of Planned Parenthood, Keisha Knight Pulliam.
Rudy from The Cosby Show.
Hello.
Charlie Pierce, Jake
Gyllenhaal, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Rob Reiner all on the big show today.
And John Cho, Harold of Harold and Kumar.
Right. Hello.
We had Kumar on.
And Sulu in that Star Trek
movie. He was Sulu in the Star Trek remake, yep.
All right, and now reading directly from my astrology zone.
Oh, boy. Oh. Okay, why are you bringing this all down?
I'm not. I'm just preparing us emotionally and also just get out and vote. All right, let me just start by saying a lot of the... She said last month didn't happen, but what I'm saying... The U.S. presidential election will take place this evening of November 6th, the date Mercury turns retrograde. What? I've always written that the front and end dates of any planet's retrograde are the strongest when havoc is recorded.
Mm.
We do have precedents for the presidential election coinciding with Mercury retrograde in 2000.
What could possibly go wrong?
And it was during the Bush-Gore
contest. I think Al Gore just sighed.
Back in 2000, Mercury was going direct on Election Day evening. This time, Mercury is going retrograde for 3 weeks on Election Day evening. Listen, people, you need to turn out and vote. I cannot. My stomach can't, and neither can yours. We cannot handle 3 more weeks and not...
I almost had an accident yesterday.
We are in severe gastrointestinal distress up in here.
Yeah, me too. Constantly.
Okay, let's see. Blah, blah.
So how long do we have to wait to find
we
out?
Back in 2000, we witnessed the calls for a Florida recount, complete with hanging chads, broken voting machines, ballots found in closets and the trunks of cars.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly people related to Jeb Bush, as I recall.
Really? You're attributing all of this to a planet being in retrograde?
Give me a second.
Seriously?
It took a Supreme Court judge to settle that race. This time, things may be even more complicated and take longer. Oh! Oh, no. Here's why. The same day Mercury goes retrograde, Election Day, November 6th, that's today. We also have Mercury in a hard angle to confusing Neptune, multiplying the problems by three.
Really?
Just to be finished.
When Neptune gets involved, then it's all over.
Hell breaks loose. Surprised Pluto wasn't involved if hell's involved.
But Donald Duck was.
Just let me finish. There are some possibilities here. Your numerologist is straining to hear this, and you're talking over me. Okay, there are some possibilities here due to the historic Hurricane Sandy that caused such widespread damage and knocked out electrical power in the Northeast. Election may be delayed. What? No. Also, many states allow for early balloting, something new, so that may be a saving grace. That's right. No matter what else happens, this will be an election with a razor-thin margin for the winner. I feel we may see delays. If you are a U.S. citizen registered to vote, be sure to cast your ballot. Watching this race will show you the power of Mercury retrograde. All right.
So is all this because of one bad debate Obama had? Remember he was leading by a billion points?
No, it's because of Mercury retrograde.
Of course it is.
You're basing all this on the appearance of a planet in the sky in relation to
all that being
another
said,
planet.
It was all a bunch of last month, and I worried myself sick.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
I thought we had a rule that we don't have psychics or numerology or anything like that on this program.
I just read that this morning.
Oh,
I was like,
God.
Huh? Oh, all right. The point is, you have to get out and vote. Go do your patriotic duty.
There's that. Right. That's based in reality.
Exactly. I'm just saying because some people will be going to, you know, Skeeterstock today.
Oh, okay.
Oh, for God's sakes. Really?
Yes, really. Mercury is in Rich. Retrograde.
I'm Skeeter, and I approve this message.
Thanks to your generous donations to Skeeter PAC.
I want to get our country back.
Obama Derangement Pictures presents the film of the year.
We're the laughing stock of the world right now.
Come see Skeeter Stock.
Bush was a very good president, and Obama isn't.
3 days of peace, love, and misinformation.
I see a lot of socialism in him. He hasn't been presidential, and he too much anger.
Skeeter Stock.
Barack Obama, a lot of the people who are voting for him is so they can continue to get their handouts, and that's not what America's about.
It's free Skeeter love.
I don't like the way he goes around apologizing for the United States.
Playing all your favorites.
Reverend Wright, George Soros, Bill Ayers.
They got together for 3 days to exchange their ideas.
We just don't have the freedoms we used to.
I don't think he does like America.
I don't want to see our country go down the tubes.
And God is going to make sure Mr. Romney wins.
Skeeter Stock.
Well, he is a Muslim. His father was a Muslim, his father was an atheist, and his father was a
communist.
Whoa,
he's all
what? Hang on.
We're by what?
A Muslim and an atheist.
Okay, the scary thing about that is those people were
real. They were real.
At weren't actors.
Romney rally.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rocky Mountain Mike actually took those from actual Romney voters.
Yeah.
Oh,
would
dear.
It be wrong for me to say that stupidity should be fatal?
Oh, damn. Sometimes it is. Okay, let's.
Well, if you're at a, what is it? Cockroach eating contest?
Yes. All right. 16 minutes after the hour, our parade, it's actually the morning of too many stars.
And planets.
Coming up. All right. Back with actress Vivica Fox next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Damn it, Jim. You made me snarf on my keyboard again. It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 22 minutes after the hour.
Which is brought to you by, in part by, The Last Open Road. Where is The Last Open Road? What is The Last Open Road? Have you traveled The Last Open Road? Go to lastopenroad.com.
Mm-hmm. All right. I got to read this one. Joe in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Voter suppression. Steph, I am an Iraq war veteran. I just watched a show entitled Inside the Afghanistan War last night. It showed an army unit that took a hill overlooking an Afghan village. They took that hill so they can ensure a local election could be held without any Taliban interference. As in the past, while on that hill, Specialist Hayes stepped on a mine and lost his right leg. An American soldier lost his leg so people in a remote Afghan village could vote. As I watch the Republican Party try and suppress the vote and try to cheat people out of their right to vote here in my country, I'm ashamed. I didn't serve in the Iraq War, and all the other servicemen or women didn't serve so Americans could be denied their right to vote in America. It makes me sick and ashamed to know this is happening in my country. Don't let it happen to you. Go reclaim your right today. Go vote. All right, 23 minutes after the hour. Oh, yay. This is very exciting.
I know.
I'm a huge fan. Actress Vivica Fox joins us now. Good morning, Vivica.
Today's the day. I mean, we're just making sure that everybody gets out and knows that their vote does definitely count, and that we want everyone to make sure that they get out and vote.
Well, you know, I don't know if you heard that letter I just read from a veteran, but, you know, obviously a lot of people, Vivica, concerned, nervous this morning. There have been a lot of, you know, voter, you know, suppression techniques by a lot of these Republican governors, and you know, that's all you can say is go vote. Turn out, right?
Yes.
Do not let them take that
away
from you.
Absolutely. You know, they are trying every trick they can to keep people from voting. I was in Ohio this past week, and, you know, the line was wrapped around the building. People have just been really turning out in big numbers. They didn't think that we would have the same energy and the same enthusiasm that we had the first time electing President Barack Obama, that we wouldn't have that enthusiasm to get him reelected, and we're there. So it's kind of tricking them. So we just tell people that if you're having any problems or you have any questions, go to vote.barackobama.com. Mm-hmm. There's questions there. There's answers to all of your questions, locations, whatever you need, it's there. Once again, that's vote.barackobama.com.
Vivica, I got to tell you, I've watched every pretty much media storyline be wrong in 2008 about who's going to vote for who and why.
Right.
And I got to tell you, right up to this morning, David Gregory makes my head explode. He's on MSNBC this morning going, well, there's, you know, an enthusiasm gap. You know, the president, the young people are not going to turn out and blah, blah. And I'm like, you know what? I'm sick of them telling us who's going to vote and who's not to and who has enthusiasm. I mean, what do you see on the trail?
Oh, my gosh. I have been out there. You know, I was out there in the cold and went to seeing those lines wrapped around the building. I went to luncheon 2 weeks ago at Will and Jada Pinkett Smith for Michelle Obama. It was packed. You know, I think that what they're trying to do is just they're just trying to trick you and plant seeds of doubt. And I've had a couple people say, you know, I'm feeling a little scared. I said, don't be.
Right.
That's just them trying to plant seeds of doubt to make you think that, you know, the same folks that turned out in droves last time that were not there, that were not supporting the president, and they're wrong. They're wrong. People are very, very proud of the president and all of the efforts that he has made in the past 4 years. They believe that he needs more time to finish the job that he has started.
Yep.
President Obama inherited the worst economy of any sitting president ever. He works very hard every day against odds that, you know, most presidents don't have to deal with. And he keeps fighting every day. He's a good man with a good woman on his side who cares about 100% of America.
Yep.
And that's what I've seen, that if you look at all the people that support him, it's the American dream, the American people.
Yep.
You know, it's blacks, whites, gays, it's everyone. Everyone is supporting him. Women. He
yep.
cares about women's rights, equal pay. He's just the right man to take us to in the future.
Now, Vivica, was my invitation lost to that luncheon at Will and Jada Pinkett's? Because I now was it because you were in Independence Day with him and I wasn't, or
well, you know, I kind of had an insider edge on you because, you know, I did the movie Independence Day with him,
sure.
My Best Kiss at the MTV Awards, and then I did a movie with the wife, Set It Off. So, you know, I kind of work with the family, and then I work with the daughter
yeah.
on a show for Nickelodeon. So
oh.
I kind of had an insider.
Yeah, all right. All right. I'll give you this one. Just sneak me in next time. Now, Vivica, I think, but everything you just said is so true. I'm so sick of them telling us, like, as if it's already happened. Oh, there's an enthusiasm gap, and oh, you're not going to see the youth turnout and all of that. I mean, someone said this
morning. Right.
We were just saying, you know, that Nate Silver gives the president a 94% chance of winning, but only if we get out and vote, right?
Absolutely. We have to get out and vote without a doubt. You know, I've seen those polls and things like that, and I just shake my head at them. I'm like, wow, really? But you know what? You know what? Tonight, it's for us to be fired up and ready to go, as the president said last night in his closing speech in Iowa, that we just have to prove them wrong and show them. And then they'll be sitting there going, wow, well, we're stunned. So I've been tweeting since 5:30 this morning when I woke up, like, you guys, let's prove them wrong. Tweet your pictures. Tweet your moments. People are excited. They're in line. They've been in line. They've been making sure that they paid attention and that they know that we need their vote.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, like I say, anybody I've talked to like you that it's, you know, an official surrogate and on the road, they're going, where is this enthusiasm gap? I don't see it. You know, I mean, that speech last night.
They go, well, okay, Obama last time he had maybe 30,000 people showed up and only 20 showed up. Like, are you kidding me? You know, 20,000 people is a lot, and it's 20,000 people in different places, you know, and it's just propaganda, honey. They yeah. on there just trying to make it interesting, but we've got Obama, and he is going to win tonight.
We
I'm
got
very
his,
confident of that.
We got his back. We're going forward. Vivica Fox, thank you so much. What an honor. Thanks so much.
You are so very much. Thank you, guys. God bless you. Please make sure you vote, people.
Thank
we
you.
Need you. Forward 2012.
There you forward. There we go. 2012. Vivica Fox, smoking hot. Do
yep.
it. She says do it. Do it.
Do it.
29. Let's do it. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's white wine, ice cubes, and Sprite. She calls it funky juice.
Be plenty to get through today.
Yeah.
Happy election day, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere.
Oh. What? What?
Hmm? Cut one.
Oh.
President Obama on the campaign
okay.
trail. Like I just.
I'm proud we saved the auto industry, but I'm even prouder that we're making better cars now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, good. Christian in Maryland is an astronomer. Hello, Christian.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Okay. Well, first of all, I'd just like to welcome you back from your brief flirt with strep throat. That's an amazing
Thank
recovery.
You. Thank you.
And
Thank you.
Also, I just, you know, I hold a degree in astrophysics, and I've always wanted to put it to good use. And I've decided I would like to volunteer my services as the official astrophysicist of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Please.
Cool. Great. So, Stephanie, you were talking earlier
awesome.
About Mercury and retrograde.
Yes.
6
yeah, o'clock
forget
tonight.
About, forget about it. Don't worry about it,
mm-hmm.
okay? It's, we got gravity of Mercury exerting on Earth. is far less than the gravity of Chris Lavoy is exerting on you right now.
There
is absolutely
he's a drag for sure.
He's that gravity baby. So just one thing I want to reiterate: let's not worry about mystical things that don't affect us here on Earth. The only thing that affects us here on Earth is what we do today at the polls.
Yep, that's right.
We
get
out there, vote, get them, we're good to go.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Fancy Book Alert, and whatever. Okay. I was saying to Vivica Fox before the break that I can't watch David Gregory. What? Why do they always have to have, there's some sort of, like it's already happened, you know?
Right.
Like, oh, well, there's this, like it's true, oh, there's this enthusiasm gap, and well, we know the youth turnout isn't going to be blah, blah. No, we don't. We don't know anything until we get out today and vote. And then one guy asked, I think it was David Axelrod, some hypothetical, well, now, if blacks don't turn out in the same level, won't we be able to say that, thank God, David Axelrod goes, I'm not answering some hypothetical that's not happening. It's like, oh, yes, he's lost black support, and that will make all the difference, and then won't that mean that tomorrow we'll need to, shut up!
If Jeff Goldblum can bring dinosaurs back to life, then
if
the Velociraptor
went
for Romney,
today, in a swing state.
And I want that Velociraptor to eat Eric Fernstrom. Just saying.
Or perhaps Dana Loesch. Now, that would be a fight. Okay. Here's the only thing I'm going to look at. 5:38. Where's that? La, la, la,
la, la, la, la, la, la, la.
Let's go to my happy place. November 5th. That was yesterday. Poll gains for Obama leave Romney with longer odds. Okay, the most recent set of polls suggests another problem for Mr. Romney, whose momentum in the polls stalled out in mid-October. It is President Obama who is making gains, whether because of Hurricane Sandy, the relatively good economic news as of late, or other factors. Mr. Obama appears to have gained ground in the closing days of the race, is now at a 94.1% probability of winning, according to Nate Silver, who, I'm just saying, was the most accurate pollster in the last election and in several since then.
Mm-hmm.
So, there, neener.
But was Mercury in Uranus at the time. Uranus, sorry. No.
And the other, I think the biggest predicator is that Dick Morris says Romney's going to win in a landslide.
Yeah.
He's going to win a landslide. It's going to be a billion zillion to zero. Because I've always been right about everything ever.
That's the only, I'm not good at math.
Yeah.
He's always been wrong about everything ever in the history of everything.
Yeah.
Just saying. Okay. Jim, who said the Affordable Care Act is saving my daughter's life?
Mitt Romney.
No. Actually, probably was, he doesn't have a daughter, but other than that, Stacy in Arizona.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Who said Obama's for the vets? He helped us wind down in Iraq, and he's improved mental health policy with VA benefits. Who said that?
Dick Cheney.
Really off to a bad start today. Joel in Minnesota.
Well then.
25 people with 25 different reasons that are voting for Obama. Who said Obama stuck his neck out for us, the auto industry? He wasn't going to let it just die, and I'm driving in this morning because of that, because of him. Who said that?
Fred in Kuala Lumpur. Hello.
No. Brian in Ohio.
Close.
I don't think there are too many Freds in Kuala Lumpur. Just saying.
One.
Joanne in Massachusetts. Hi, Joanne.
Hey.
Hi.
Just wanted to let you know that over the weekend I received a robocall from John McCain representing the Massachusetts GOP.
Oh, boy.
He asked specifically for my vote, and he did not mention Willard, Mitt Romney, or Senator Brown at all.
Interesting.
Wow.
So what does that tell you?
He's who said that? Yes. Oh, rude pundit. He's the bitterest elf that's ever run for president, don't you think?
But he's representing the Massachusetts GOP. That's all you need to hear.
Oh, my God. He's just, I didn't think it was possible for him to be crankier.
Right.
Hayes, you disappoint us, General Powell. He's a little speckless foreign policy in my life.
What?
Yeah.
He's, okay.
By the way, Jim, cards and letters are rolling in. Jeff Goldblum did not bring back the dinosaurs.
I know. I just,
in Jurassic Park.
I know he didn't do it himself.
Okay.
Really?
It was Richard Attenborough that did it.
It was just the first name from the cast that I could think of.
Okay.
How fast do you think I'm going to get to the You Complete Me joke with Jake Gyllenhaal
later?
Please
don't do that.
Okay. All right. Lillian, South Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lillian.
Hi, Steph. Love you guys. You're wonderful. Listen, they have all these long lines. And it's a damn shame that our Attorney General can't do anything about it. I'm not saying he can't do anything about it. He's trying to find these folks for doing that kind of nasty mess.
Yep.
You know, it's a damn shame. But you know what, honey?
You know, this is not a third world country. We shouldn't have to wait 6 hours to vote in the United States of America.
We had this young man to call about they take our young men and women, send them into these ungodly lands to die for their freedom.
That's right.
You know, so they can have a democracy. Now, here in this country, they want to take it away from us. And that's all we have, really.
I know. But you know what, Lillian? But the other thing is that makes a lie out of this whole, oh, there's an enthusiasm gap. Really? People are standing in line 6 hours? They're so excited about, I mean, look at the huge numbers of early voting, early voters that have taken advantage of that. The president yesterday on the
campaign. Our fight goes on because America always does best when everybody gets a fair shot. And everybody does their fair share. And everybody plays by the same rules. That's what we believe. That's why you elected me in 2008. And that's why I'm running for a second term.
Woo, thank God the election's today. He's got this much voice left.
Yeah.
As a radio professional, I recognize that.
Well, we should have the military here try to assure a fair vote in this country, since they do
that?
It in Iraq.
How about some election monitors? Who said Osama bin Laden is dead and General Motors is alive? Who said that?
Osama bin Laden.
No, because he's...
I guess he wouldn't be able to say
Joe,
that.
A guy named Joe Biden from the state of Delaware.
I've heard of him.
Mm-hmm. Who said Supreme Court, Supreme Court, Supreme Court? Who said that?
Jerry Mathers.
No. Andrew from California.
Okay,
one more. Who said arithmetic?
Albert Einstein.
Oh, that's a good guess, though. That was finally a good guess. No, Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. 25 people, 25 reasons you should vote for President Obama.
Okay.
Let's go to, let's see here. Jay Allison in Atlanta. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jay.
Good morning, Steph.
Hi.
Listen, I wanted to make a comment, a couple of comments, really. One of the things is, if the outcome of Mitt Romney, heaven forbid, win the election, I won't believe it. I won't believe anything anymore dealing with the electoral votes and election, because it would have been stolen. Because if you look at the crowds at the campaign stuff, they're much larger for Obama. And as far as the...
Well, he's ahead in pretty much every swing state but Florida, which is also very close. But again, you know, the margins are not huge.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, you know, once again, I will say turnout, turnout, turnout. And by the way, we've come too far to go back now.
We have come too far to turn back now. We've come too far to let our hearts grow faint. Now's the time to keep pushing forward.
Forward. Did he mention forward?
Forward, yeah. A little bit.
Mason in Ohio. I'm Mason, the swingiest of swing states. Hello, Mason.
Good morning, sunshine.
Good morning, Angel.
Well, I got to say, I feel you on this whole being sick to your stomach thing, because it's absolutely crazy when you live in a state like Ohio.
Yep.
Very crucial state during elections, not other than that, but during elections.
Right.
And you've got John Husted, Secretary of State, that started 2 years ago, started suppression tactics.
Yep.
And canceled early voting. And so it went to the court, to court, to court, to court, to court. Get to the Supreme Court, and we win. Yay, we get to have early voting. So to get around that, John Husted then says, well, we can have early voting, but didn't say how many hours.
Right.
So in total, we had 16 hours. And he actually fired poll workers, because while it was in the courts, they were saying, well, if it's yes, we can do it, let's go ahead and plan for it. Makes sense. He fired those people for doing that, because he said there will not be early voting hours.
You know,
and then
it really, Mason, is why shouldn't we want the most people to vote possible in America? I mean, there is only one answer, as they know. It's what Bill Clinton said. When people tend to vote, Democrats win.
Right. Yep, exactly.
I mean,
right, absolutely. Because, you know, they have a very small percentage of the 1%, right? That's the 1%. All 99 other percent typically falls Democrat. And even now, which is sad to say, that with the election machine debacle that's now happening, the courts have said, and so has Democrats, that the attorneys are ready starting now, and so are the courts, to hear after the polls close that foolishness is going on.
Yeah.
And it's very disheartening. Why not be the leaders that they should be? Step up and say, everybody in this country deserves to vote, and leave it at that.
Right. Well, and Mason, as I've always said, if they're so confident in their candidate and their ideas, why don't you want as many people to vote as possible? So, but, you know, you got to say, look, this is why I always have to, like, caution Jim and others. Like, look, President Obama wouldn't have won in a landslide if Republicans steal every election every time. If we turn out in big enough numbers, they can't. You know, so that's all we can do today. The president yesterday.
You brought your neighbors and you made homemade signs. When we had calls to make, teachers and nurses showed up after work, already bone tired, but staying anyway, late into the night. And you welcomed me and Michelle into your homes. And you picked us up when we needed a lift. And your faces gave me new hope for this country's future. And your stories filled me with resolve.
Hey, he teared up, and so did I watching it last night. Okay, 45. Huh? I'm back. Nobody help me. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Election Day.
Oh, God. That feels weird and good all at once.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
If you don't vote, 50 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by the fine Americans at GoToMyPC.com. Access your entire work computer from your smartphone or tablet like I do with the GoToMyPC mobile app. I want you to try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the Try It Free button, enter the promo code Stephanie. All right. Oh, speaking of fine Americans, guess who wrote me an Election Day letter? Rachel Maddow's daddy. Subject line, fired up.
Aw.
Yeah. Bob writes, ready to go. Steph, before the California primary in 2008, one morning you said Mama's for Obama. Until that moment, I had not taken then-Senator Obama as seriously as a candidate as I did Mrs. Clinton or even John Edwards. Your commitment at that moment caused me to start studying, and I soon understood why you were so moved so early. I hope and pray that he will prevail against Willard Romney, who, in my opinion, is a man with no principles, with the characteristics of a chameleon and no capacity to inspire. Bob Maddow, Castro Valley, California.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel's daddy. Thank God I'm so smart, because if he had to rely on his daughter, you know, for... political. What? He's fired up. He's ready to go. Forward.
Forward. Forward. Forward. Forward. Forward.
Don't live with your eyes closed. Don't go back to the old way.
No.
We must move forward and call the right out on their douchey ways. They have no reason.
Let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we? Wowee! This seems kind of like something illegal. Voter intimidation, doesn't it? Brian Kilmeade with some advice for him.
So if you have a presence there, if you're a Republican, if you're Romney or Obama people, Republican or Democrat, the best thing you could do is have a presence there to show, maybe intimidate people to playing it straight, correct?
Well, intimidation is actually...
Not intimidate, just go, oh, that guy's over here.
I'm watching.
Yeah.
Well, you're allowed to have poll watchers.
Intimidate him. Show him.
It's the first thing that came into his head.
Yeah. Intimidate him. Hit him with a rock.
That's technically illegal.
Illegal.
You dump.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. Nice try, though. All right.
Let me get a club and hit him over the head.
What? I can't do that?
No?
Oh.
Okay.
Never mind.
Mm-hmm. Rush Limbaugh.
Today, Michelle Obama is in North Carolina, and she is there with NBA players and others, which... means that Michelle Obama's in rallying the base, the black vote base, for Barack Hussein Obama. There's the thinking side of me that's okay. They don't have the black turnout where they want it to be. Why be doing that?
There's no thinking side to you.
He's gross.
That's gross.
Really? They've just dispensed with the dog whistle in the last days of the campaign. He's gross.
Calls her Michelle Obama because he has issues with her weight.
Those people like basketball. There's black road.
Wow. That's just right. You know what? I think just playing that sound clip just fired up a bunch more people ready to go.
Yes, go vote.
Yeah. Unless you want that. America made up of that. Okay. And Coulter.
Americans are afraid to say they're voting against Obama because they'll be accused of racism. The point by the entire NFM. I mean, if you were a Tea Party, you're a racist. If you're against Obamacare, you're a racist. If you're against the stimulus bill.
Racism seemed to be a thread that went through right-wing world yesterday, I noticed.
I think it was, they're basically, it's their code for saying, don't be afraid to be racist. It's okay.
Right. Yeah.
It's okay.
Keep the blacks from voting.
You haven't noticed he's black.
Don't worry about it.
Wow.
Okay. Dana Perino on Fox News on Chris Christie.
One of the things that we all love about Chris Christie is that he's over-exuberant about everything.
Oh.
So in his criticisms of President Obama, we could watch that and go, ooh, that was a good one. But when he praises somebody, he's also over-exuberant. And he's doing what he's supposed to do for the governorship. I think that I don't think that anyone should read into it. However, if you are a Republican and you are concerned and turning your head of, why did he do that? It should give you great comfort that Romney made the right decision on his vice presidential choice in Paul Ryan.
Yeah, not really.
Confused his
name. In that he's going to lose Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And Christie probably just won the election for Obama.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But other than that, yes, nicely done, Mittens. By the way, Jim, who said, for me, President Obama's our best choice because he has a vision of the United States as a place where we're all in this together? Who said that?
Chris Christie.
No, although that's a good guess.
Yeah.
No, his fellow New Jerseyite, Bruce Springsteen, said
that.
And did you see...
Sandy.
Chris Christie, I'm telling you right now, is voting for Obama today.
Yeah.
You know why? Not just because he did such a great job with Hurricane Sandy. He put Bruce Springsteen on the phone with him yesterday. And Chris Christie cried like a little gal.
Yes, he did. He did. It was adorbs.
He said, somebody named Bruce wants to say hi. Yeah. How cute is that? He put him on the phone with Chris Christie. Chris Christie said he cried. Like a baby. Oh, who's going to vote for Obama? You
Governor,
are.
This town rips the bones from your back.
Come on.
That's trap.
That's cool. That's
suicide.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Lou Dobbs, Fox News.
One of the things I'd like to do is correct Governor Christie, though. He did not simply say thank you. He literally slobbered over the president.
Literally.
With his expressions, the effusiveness. And by the way, that had to be, this is not a foolish or a dumb man. He had to know what he was doing. He didn't simply extend a hand. He embraced this president. Without this president, at least physically, empirically, and obviously doing anything.
What? No, he very specifically thanked the president for what he very specifically did to help the
president. Yeah, I didn't do anything.
Okay. All right.
He's so smart.
Must we end with the deucey in the bunch?
I've talked to some active duty military. They're upset that the president of the United States initially went on that apology tour. And they're really upset in the last couple of months. He apologized for our guys, you know, the murder of four of our Americans in Benghazi. By saying, hey, we're really sorry about that video,
when
folks.
Did he apologize for the murder of four people in Benghazi?
Wow. Okay. They're still trying.
They
with
said
that
it on Fox.
Benghazi.
It must be true. Okay. They were really, really scrambling and throwing everything against the wall yesterday on Fox News.
Desperation day.
Yeah, it
All
was
right.
desperate over there.
Jim, who said the actions he has taken with respect to protecting us from terrorism have been very, very solid? Who said that?
Steve Doocy.
No, that's a very bad guess. A guy named Colin Powell from Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
Him.
He's good.
That
who
one.
Said, I was really, really grateful for him for standing up for those kids who are having a really rough time out there because of their orientation. Who said that?
Brian Kilmeade.
No, also a bad guess. Someone named Jane Lynch from California.
Oh. I've heard of her.
Yes, she's very good. Let's real quick, Robert in Cleveland, give us an update in Cleveland. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Chris. Hi, Jim. Glad to get some mama love here on election day.
20 minutes, 20 seconds.
Yeah, the lines are very long and steady so far. There's been no incidents of any kind of voter suppression or anything. It's looking pretty good. Everybody's fired up, and the lines are very long. And keep up with good votes.
Go Cleveland. We love you, Cleveland.
Yep.
All right, Cecile Richards from Planned Parenthood next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and time to feel good. Hey, all right now, and time to feel good.
Happy Election Day, everybody. 6 minutes. Listen, there's a lot of studying to do for the California
yeah.
ballot. A lot
uh-huh.
of studying.
Right. Mm. Like where your polling place is?
Mm-hmm. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. There's too many propositions. I'm going to have to... Do we have to know all this? Ugh, so much studying involved.
A lot of propositions.
All right.
Both city and state.
Yes.
Because we have the porn proposition.
Right.
Mm. You know about that one?
What are you doing on that one?
That if it passes, then condoms will be necessary for required for every porn shoot in the city of Los Angeles.
Buzzkill.
Stop it. All right, kids. Happy Election Day. Very, very exciting. We have it really is the morning of too many stars.
Yeah.
We have Jake Gyllenhaal, Sarah Jessica Parker,
yep.
Rob Reiner coming up,
yep.
and one of our very, very favorites, Cecile Richards, president of Planned Parenthood, joins
Cecile
us.
Cecile Richards.
Now, good morning, Cecile.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you?
Good. I know that you feel so passionately about this election, you actually took a leave of absence from your very fancy job.
Well, yeah, I mean, for the women that come to Planned Parenthood and depend on us each year, really nothing's more important than this presidential election. So mm-hmm. I've had the honor of getting to volunteer for President Obama this last month, and I'm in Richmond, Virginia right now, and we're getting out the vote. It's going to be a good day.
I was going to say, I can't even imagine, did you actually do a spit take when you heard Mitt Romney say we're going to get rid of that Planned Parenthood? Just boom.
Well, that's what, I mean, I think he just doesn't get it when it comes to women. And of course, but although now he's trying to say anything he has to get women to vote for him. But what I think women know they can't trust him. And that's what I'm hearing out here in the field is women are saying, look, why would we go backwards in America? And President Obama's been a great president for women.
I have to say, you know, particularly for 2012, Cecile, I've never seen a clearer choice for women. I mean, it really is kind of astounding, isn't it, that we have a candidate that is not sure if he would have voted for equal pay, can't even give us an answer on that, as you
right.
say, would get rid of Planned Parenthood. I mean, what else? So you can go down the list, right?
No, I mean, I think that's what I'm hearing from women, that not only, yes, the fact that he could never answer the question about whether he believes in equal pay for women, I mean, that's something that we know costs women already, nearly $400,000 in a lifetime because of how much less we get paid. That's just a fundamental issue. But I'm hearing from a lot of women, too, who are really concerned that Mitt Romney keeps saying he would love to overturn Roe versus Wade. And, of course, the next president will make one or two Supreme Court appointments that could do just that.
You know, Cecile, it's interesting with all the attention that came, revolved around the 47% comments. I'm sure you
yep.
heard of the other part of that tape where he talked, and I don't know if it's a different tape, but him, again, privately recorded, but saying that he was proud of the fact that he signed anything anti-choice he possibly could in Massachusetts.
That's right. No, I mean, he's very, very clear. He said he would be delighted to sign a bill overturning Roe. He's repeatedly said he would like to, do everything he can to take away this right for women. And I'm talking to women who, are saying, I can't imagine my daughter or my granddaughter would have fewer rights than I do. I mean, this is a constitutional right women have had in America for nearly 40 years. And Mitt Romney is saying he wants to get rid of it.
You know, it's interesting. It almost, in some ways, it's almost impossible to know what he really thinks about anything because he seems to be a man completely devoid of principles of any kind, really, because he's obviously
right.
changed on every single subject. But, I mean, my fear is what you just said, is that his real beliefs are much more conservative than what he's feigning in these last few months of the campaign, right?
Oh, Stephanie, you're absolutely right. And in fact, all that I've heard really from the Romney campaign is, well, those issues don't matter. Not that he has the right decisions. And in fact, I don't see him running any television ads, proudly proclaiming his commitment to get rid of Planned Parenthood, to overturn Roe, the fact that he wouldn't support the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act. They seem to be trying to do everything they can to hide the ball and, make sure women don't know those. And I think the other real falsehood out there is that somehow Mitt Romney would be good for the economy for women. I mean, he has a miserable record as creating jobs in Massachusetts. And it seems to me his only private sector experience is shipping jobs overseas.
Yep. I mean, well, and that's exactly right. I know that we've had so many polls in this whole season, Cecile. But, as far as I know, most of the ones I've seen, that gender gap is right back where we always thought it was going to be for Mitt Romney, right?
That's right. I mean, actually, that's what the USA Today came out yesterday. It was like 16 points, I think. I mean, it's as high as it's ever been. And again, I'm seeing women that are definitely women that are Republican women, independent women out here in these battleground states who are saying, look, Mitt Romney, I can't trust him. He's too extreme. And also, to look, he'll say anything to get a vote, but you can't trust him once he's president.
Cecile, you are, as you just said, in Virginia. I know it's very, very close. What is the latest polling you're hearing out of Virginia?
I think in Virginia, you know, there's two big races here. There's the Senate race and there's the presidential race. I think the president's going to carry Virginia, and I think Tim Kaine's going to be elected to the United States Senate. I mean, and a lot of it on these issues. I mean, on the doors, knocking on doors, and I'm on phone banks today. Women are saying, look, I can't believe this is a guy running for president who doesn't know where he is on equal pay, who wants to get rid of birth control coverage and insurance plans, and he wants to get rid of Planned Parenthood. Every woman in America knows what that means. And Mitt Romney may not know what it means, but women do.
Cecile, it's interesting. Just reading a piece, it's, you know, because obviously we're so focused on the presidential, but obviously there's a lot going on, particularly with female candidates and particularly in the Senate. I mean, it looks like, obviously, the odds are the Democrats are going to retain the Senate, right?
Yes, and I mean, there are so many fabulous women running for the Senate this time. I think we really stand to have a record number of women join the Senate. So, in a number of battleground states as well. I mean, Claire McCaskill will come back, and Tammy Baldwin, so exciting. I think she's doing really, really well in Wisconsin. You know, the list goes on.
Well, I mean, I was just going to say that. It's interesting. I mean, you almost, you talk about the war against women. You almost can't write this stuff from Todd Akin to Richard Murdoch, but those are two seats right there, as you say. That's
right. I mean, exactly. But the thing I think is important, Stephanie, about, you know, Todd Akin and Richard Murdoch is people act like they're some kind of outliers. I mean, they're just simply representing really what is the Republican Party platform. That's how far it's gotten. And, you know, the irony is that here's Mitt Romney running ads saying, I need Richard Murdoch in the United States Senate. So if that's who Mitt Romney needs in the United States Senate, you can only imagine who he would put on the United States Supreme Court. Really chilling.
Well, and Cecile, that's the amazing thing. It's not only how offensive their comments are, all of these different Republicans about rape, they don't get how offensive they are. That's the other layer of it.
Well, I think the thing, Stephanie, that just kind of perplexes me, and we actually, you know, when Paul Ryan in the vice presidential debate, I said this, I thought it was, you know, it was made it crystal clear to me when he said, look, my personal religious views are that life begins at conception, and therefore, basically, I believe that every woman in America should live under my religious edict. And that is what these guys believe. First of all, none of them can get pregnant, so I don't exactly know where they come off having the opinions they do. But in any case, the thought that because someone's religious views are such that somehow every woman in America is going to suffer as a result is crazy.
If men could get pregnant, Cecile, there'd be a Planned Parenthood on every block.
Absolutely. I know. And maybe one day there will be.
No, let's hope so. Cecile, thanks for your great work in the campaign and coming on with us on such a big day. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Great to talk to you, Stephanie.
You too.
Forward.
There you go. Forward, 2012. Everyone knows how to close. Forward, 2012. Because you know what? You don't have to vote for Romney. You really don't. We remind you. One out for election day. All right. Jim, who said he has a real plan for rescuing the economy that passes the math test?
Tom Petty.
No. Teresa in Virginia said that of President Obama.
Okay.
Jim, who said having someone in office who understands how powerful our voice can be is very important? Who said that?
Mike Campbell.
No, Jay-Z, a fellow by the name of Jay-Z from New York.
Yes. Apparently he has 99 problems.
Really?
But Mitt ate one.
Yeah.
Hmm.
He said that
and
the other day.
Obama solved most of them. Yeah. All right. Who said, I'm voting for Barack Obama and Joe Biden because I trust them to care for the middle class and restore the American dream? Who said that?
Ron Blair. See, they're Steven. All members of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Wow.
Steven in Florida.
All right.
Okay. Bad guesses, though.
Yeah. Stan Lynch. He used to be the drummer. Now.
No. 17 minutes after the hour. One huge celebrity to be named in a moment.
Huge.
As we continue on Election Day on the Stephanie Miller Show.
On the Stephanie Miller Radio Show in suburban America this morning.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Think about direction, wonder why you have it now. Stand in the place where you were, now face.
Stephanie Miller.
Think about the place where you live, wonder why you have it now.
Those of you who haven't done this just for me, but for each other, for a laid off family member, for a sick child, for a fallen friend, to all of you who've lived and breathed the hard work of change, I want to thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. We've got your back forward 23 minutes after the hour. Why doesn't this happen to me every day?
I don't know.
Good morning, award-winning actress Alfre Woodward.
Woodard.
Woodard. Good, good morning. I'm a huge fan, but then who isn't?
Oh, thank you.
Well, thanks so much for calling in. What a day, huh? Election Day, finally here. And I know you've been out on the trail with Michelle Obama, and you really, I mean, I got to say, everybody I've talked to does not see this enthusiasm gap the pundits are telling us about. What do you think?
Well, you know, I think it's in their interest to create, you know, drama. But I have actually not been with the First Lady. I've been in the hinterlands, darling. I've been going door-to-door with the regular folks. And people are excited, and people do understand the progress that the president has made on our behalf. And so they are, you know, that's the thing that's surprising. No, people aren't showing about 50,000 because they know that things are underway and they know how to protect it. And so people are turning out. A lot of people have already early voted, but it's going to happen the way it happened the first time. It doesn't matter how many billions of dollars goes into ads or all of that. It's that neighbor-to-neighbor, hand-to-hand conversation, and it's been happening everywhere.
Now, how hinter are the lands that you're in? Where have you been, and where are you now?
Well, now I have landed. I'm going to headquarters this morning as soon as we talk to do radio for the rest of the day. But I have been on the ground in Nevada, Colorado, Iowa, Florida, North Carolina, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and I think that's it. But
wow.
Sort of making a loop, kind of like that lady at the airport and the white zone kind of thing, just making the loop.
Yeah.
You know, interesting you use the phrase about, you know, pundits like to create drama. And I should say to them, you know what, Alfre Woodard bettered at that than you. She's paid to create drama. You guys just, because I literally tuned in this morning and somebody's saying, well, you know, if the black turnout isn't the same, won't we be able to say then tomorrow? Like, they're creating storylines that haven't even happened to try and, you know, create this narrative, right?
They are, and they always do, just like the narrative that Mitt Romney was surging in the polls after, or surging in anybody's mind after that first sort of, you know, lie fest he did in the debate. So it has to be that, or else they're out of work. They get excited, and they have their own world that they do together. But the truth is, people know what it is. They know that when those guys say they're gonna, you know, on day one, they're going to start taking apart the Affordable Care Act when he won't even comment on Lilly Ledbetter and fair pay. When he starts talking about taking away Pell Grants, this is all on the first day. I don't know how long he thinks a day is, but people understand what is at risk and they understand what's possible. And so, and they understand that you don't grow an economy, you know, like if you plant vegetables, you don't think you're going to have a salad by the weekend, that everything is in place, the economy is growing, and it's not the fanfare and flashiness that Americans get used to, but I think we're maturing as an electorate, and I think everyday people respond to that.
Well, you know, it's like the president just said. I mean, everything you just said, basically, I think he summed it up best. We've come too far to turn back now. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you say, you can look at any hard evidence, any graph on the economy, anything, and know that we are headed in the right direction.
And you know what? This is the amazing thing. He did that with an openly disloyal opposition. Can you imagine what we could have gotten done if they actually took their pledge to govern and to represent America and their best interests? So all of that has happened even with them being absolute undertow. So the thing that he does have on his side is the grassroots, is the American people. But we have to show up. He can't do it by himself. We have to show up and stand up and understand that even if you have $10 or if you got $10 million, that boat weighs the same today. And so that's what everybody needs to just convince those people that feel like they don't matter that, yeah, you know, it's going to go on with or without you. It's going to go on with your taxpayer money, so you might as well jump in.
Well, and that's a good point, Alfred. Imagine what he can accomplish in this next term. You know, if he's, you know, I hope that also happens in this election, that the message is sent that we want you to work with President Obama to continue the progress that we've made.
Yes. And out of unprecedented lows, that's what's amazing. And people say, like, oh, you all acted like he was the one, like he was chosen. Well, you know what? He's one of something because what he has brought us back from the brink of was unprecedented since FDR. So, yeah, he may not be the one, but we are the one. We are the American people standing up with him. First time somebody has reached across lines and not told a different story on different sides of towns or in different states. And people responded to that.
And
they responded to working together on the things that we had in common to push forward and not arguing forever on the three things we're never going to agree on.
And Alfred, didn't he just prove that with Chris Christie, that he has always been willing to work across the aisle to get things done for people if people would meet him and work with him? And that's what just happened, right?
Yes. And you know what? That's the thing. The land is a great leveler because it is. And we can have all the arguments we want. But the land and things like climate change, you know, you're reaching out. And when people say, oh, we don't want federal assistance in natural disasters, well, they can have that opinion. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. But you can't govern, you know, a country like ours if you're not going to govern 100% of the people.
Yep, that's right. Absolutely. We give you Alfred Woodward.
Woodard.
The way, Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney has meatloaf. That's my point.
Yeah, there you go.
We have all the awesomeness on our side. Alfred, thanks so much. We appreciate it. Happy Election Day.
Thanks so much, you guys. Be well.
All right, thank you. Woodard, I can say it. There, now I did it. Damn, 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I make you laugh?
Huh?
I'm here to amuse you? What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
34 minutes after the hour.
Some sort of clown? Here to amuse you?
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from there. Jim! Mm-hmm. Who said no mother should have to choose between health care for her children and the other necessities of life? No one should have to go bankrupt because they get sick or have a disabled child. I am a Mormon woman who supports Barack Obama because of the Affordable Health Care Act. Who said that?
Elfrey Woodard.
No.
Joanne Woodward. Joanne Woodard.
Andrea Pratt Redisky of Orlando. It's a whole bunch of people that are all Mormon voting for President Obama. Isn't that something?
Is that legal?
I believe it is.
Okay.
Hey, guess what? It's Tuesday.
There's
only
one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce. Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Happy Election Day, Charlie Pierce.
Oh, I'm lounging here on the beach, on the shore of the Atlantic Ocean.
You're in Florida.
The ocean that gets
Yes, it's a real ocean that gets mad and eats things, unlike that candy-ass ocean you've got out there.
How dare you insult our Pacific.
Oh, wait, Pacific's way too cold.
Never. Charlie Pierce, what does...
and radioactive.
Lines of like 6 hours long yesterday in Florida.
I'll tell you what, this place would embarrass Panama. I swear to God.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny, but it's so not funny, and as much as I admire the people who wait in line for 5 hours to vote, nobody should have to wait for 5 hours to vote.
Thank you.
It's a complete embarrassment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until you see it close up, you don't know.
Yeah, and this is not
people have to go through.
Yeah, and this is not an accident. This is by design, you know, by Republicans, whether it's in Ohio or Florida. As you wrote this week, you said there is absolutely no question that various Republican officials have used their elected office to depress Democratic voter turnout in several critical states, most notably Ohio and here in Florida. And there's absolutely no question the whole question of voter fraud is the purest moonshine, which I believe even John McCain's strategist Steve Schmidt admitted on television yesterday. As you say, this is always my bugaboo. You say people are going to pretend the two represent equal sides of the same reality, which they clearly don't. But there you go with the mainstream media that drives us both crazy, right?
I mean, I watched that happen a couple of days ago. God help me, I watched Morning Joe. And by the way, Morning Joe is doing a six-hour show today, which I believe is a crime against humanity under the UN Treaty on Genocide. I'm not exactly sure.
I actually watched for a few minutes this morning, and that's what I was saying. I can't take David Gregory on Sunday. But today, just this whole, as if it has already happened, there's an enthusiasm gap, there's not going to be youth turnout for the president, there's not, it's like...
By the way, there's no data behind any of that.
Right. Keep going,
Charlie. I mean, it's... Hello?
Go ahead. Sorry. I dropped a piece of your fabulous writing that I had to go pick up. Go ahead.
What, did you drop it down a well?
Go get Lassie.
Lassie, where's the Charlie Pierce
Ranger column? Rick of the Charlie Pierce column.
Lassie's trying to tell us that Stephanie fell down the well again.
Lassie, Esquire.com. Go get it. good girl, Lassie.
I don't mean to alarm anybody, but there's a really big lizard sitting in the tree next to me right now.
Florida. You do get the occasional gecko.
I thought you meant Mitt Romney.
Yeah. Oh, no. He's in Pennsylvania dreaming the impossible dream.
Yeah, what do you think about that? I saw...
It's a head fake.
Yeah.
He goes to Pittsburgh. He hits the Ohio markets, too. People don't seem to understand that.
Reason? Because David Axelrod does not look good without a mustache. Yeah. He really just does not.
And the other thing is, people don't remember that McCain tried the same thing in 08.
Right.
And lost by 10. I mean, he was in Pennsylvania the last couple of weeks, too. So the overall impression I'm going to come away with from this election is just, you know, being down here is just gobsmacked one day after another.
Yeah.
At the barriers that are being thrown up to the franchise.
Yeah.
And it's dispiriting. And I think that's exactly the reason they were put together. It's to get people out of the habit of governing themselves. And I think anybody who does that is committing a crime against what the country's supposed to be about. I don't mean to preach, but it's really been driven home down here.
Yeah, I hear you.
And by the way, if Rick Scott gets 25% of the vote when he runs for re-election, I will be amazed.
Yeah, I know. By the way, Charlie, great stuff. I was wondering how we were talking earlier about how much is Mitt Romney cursing his choice of the granny, the zombie-eyed granny starver, as you call him. Not only is he losing Wisconsin, but Chris Christie just looks like he just helped the president win re-election. But you were noticing the same thing we are, that they've been sending him to I don't really know where.
They sent him to Alabama a couple of times. By the way, in case you haven't checked out the entire blog, my wife had a great post the other day. The Alabama State Republican Party Victory Party is being held at a gun range.
Oh, God.
Really?
Oh, God. You said
what could possibly, go wrong?
Wow.
This is what you pointed out. You said there he was getting snotty with a local TV guy in Flint about gun control, and you were saying because he's such a complete charlatan on issues involving the economy, you'd forgotten about his culture warrior status. He told a group of evangelical Christians that Obama's plans threaten Judeo-Christian values.
Oh, God.
Once again, this is no longer a dog whistle. This is one of those sirens that you crank with your hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean...
Muslim Negro. Mm.
Well, you were saying, yes, he was addressing the phony religious liberty controversy ginned up by the Klan of the Red Beanie so that the Presbyterian housekeepers can't get their lady parts medicine. But as you said, it's a lot more than that. And you close by saying they've really run the singularly racist and intolerant presidential campaign in my memory. And, you know, Chris was saying this yesterday. They're just throwing everything but the kitchen sink at the wall Fox News.
They have not been. By the way, if you had 7 o'clock this morning in the pool on when Fox would first mention the new Black Panther Party, you win.
Oh, really? Already?
There was a black man with a beret at a polling place in Philadelphia, and Fox News found him.
Awesome. Yeah, and we earlier in Right Wing World played Brian Kilmeade basically encouraging people to intimidate.
Intimidate voters.
Yeah, intimidate voters.
If they get out of line, you know.
If they look like they're going to vote for the black guy. Yeah.
I spend a lot of my time writing sports, and I know a lot of sportscasters, and I like a great number of them. The problem is if you like let them out of the box and let them talk about real stuff, you're just asking for massive amounts of trouble.
Exactly.
Well said, Charlie Pierce. All right, honey, happy Election Day. Thanks for checking in.
Happy Election Day. Happy Election Day to you guys. How does everybody feel? I forgot to ask.
I'm feeling cautiously happy clappy.
Yeah,
yes.
Optimistic.
Yep.
And then that was a big groan from Jim Ward there.
Right? Well, what else are you going to get from Jim Ward?
It was a voter suppression groan.
I'm reading about the BAME-linked e-voting machines and whether they're not going to
get around
to
the
White House. Of course
you are. Because you're Jim Ward. Okay.
Always look on the bright side of life.
I'm not at this point capable of not believing any story about some kind of finagling in the balloting. But... you know, I'm feeling happy-clappy, a little bit happy-clappier than I did before when I went to bed last night. I was a little bit weirded out by the rally in Iowa because it seemed so elegiac. But then, you know, I realized that it was the last time doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know.
That was a great rally.
He teared up. I teared up, too. And by the way...
Things are looking very good in Massachusetts, by the way.
Yes. Somehow I thought so.
No. Oh no! On the Senate race.
Elizabeth Warren.
Yes. Yes.
Yay.
Okay.
Okay. I know. Yeah. I was looking at the analysis of all the Senate races, and I think looking very good for Democrats to retain control. Right.
Yeah. I watched a little bit of C-SPAN last night of the senatorial debate in Nebraska, or not Nebraska, North Dakota. They had it in a middle school auditorium.
Now, I think...
Which I think is completely adorable.
Yeah, so cute. So it's like a little Thanksgiving skit.
All right, guys.
Charlie Pierce, can Scott Brown go back to hand modeling, or is he too old? What do you think?
I think the plot in Massachusetts is that Kerry gets named Secretary of State, and then Scott Brown runs for his seat.
Oh,
because he is the master of the special election, after all.
Yeah, and he probably can't fit in the pink patent leather shorts anymore anyway, so... All right.
All right.
Thank you. Love you, Charlie Pierce. See you next week.
Love you guys. Talk.
There he goes.
He's too old to go back to hand modeling. He's going to need some porcelana or something.
Yeah, he's got age spots.
Age spots. And
veins, kind of veiny.
Yeah, liver spots.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Jim, who said the first measure he signed into law after becoming president was the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act so female high school counselor or phys ed teacher can fight for equal pay for equal work? Who said that?
Lilly Ledbetter.
Well, that's probably a good guess. No, Connie Britton in California.
Oh, Connie Britton.
Right.
Of American Horror Story and Friday Night
Lights.
Right. Sweet.
I believe in the America he wants for my grandchildren. Who said that?
Tom Brokaw.
No. That was Nancy in Michigan.
Okay.
You know her.
Sure.
Who said we need 4 more years of repair of helping the middle class achieve a sustainable economy? Who said that?
Todd Akin.
No, somebody named James Taylor from North Carolina. Oh, I know him. And he knows something because he's seen, you know, fire and rain.
Oh,
yeah, right?
Yes.
Exactly.
In his mind, he's going to Carolina.
Yeah, I thought he only went to Carolina in his mind. Did he actually go there in his body, too?
Apparently.
Okay.
Sharon in Arizona, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
I wanted to let you know, don't worry about the youth here in Arizona. They're out working like mad. I've been working at the Obama headquarters and Carmona and Penzone headquarters. They were even planning to stay out all night last night, putting door hangers out.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know where they get these media storylines from, that they just keep repeating it.
Yep.
That there's going to be this or that, outcome or enthusiasm gap or whatever. Judy in California says, nuh-uh. Hi, Judy.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you,
good. Luke? Good. Go ahead, Judy.
I agree with you. I love you and Alfre Woodward very,
thank you.
Very much.
Woodward, thank you. Listen, thank you. Honey. Everyone must mispronounce it the same way now.
Okay, yeah.
Come on, nuclear.
How many times do we Democrats have to be flim-flam by these fools on the right? They did it to Al Gore. They're trying to put up these phony numbers now. What can be done legislatively, Jim, to make sure that in the next 4 years we prepare for this kind of nonsense again, for the lies that they're creating?
Well, one thing they have to do is outlaw these machines that can be easily hacked.
Can we do that? Is there something our president Obama is going to be able to do in four years to take care of this? Because we'll have 4 years.
What I think is that these machines should be manufactured and maintained only by the U.S. government,
exactly.
Not by
for-profit
companies.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, that's what I've said. Partisans of either side should not. Like Charlie Pierce just said, we should not run elections the way we do in the greatest democracy in the world. I mean, it is too like systematic. These Republican governors, they are trying every trick in the book to suppress
democracy. Brought to you by the Koch brothers.
All right, 46 minutes after the hour, but that's why the other reason to vote today: Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Citizens United, right there.
Who said that?
Me, I just did.
Oh, okay.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sweet Lady Gaga, that is good.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, somebody told me.
Stephanie Miller.
So fired.
I'm sorry. Election stress is getting to me. Do not mean to snap at you.
Oh, my God.
I'm such a bitch this morning. It's 1 minute after the hour. 1-800.
Why did you play this song? It's not a fight song.
It's election day. I want to fight that. Okay.
Anarchy for the UK. Maybe that would be.
I agree with that guy that called me a C word. Okay.
Which guy?
I don't know. The latest.
Oh. There was one since me?
Another guy besides
you.
Okay. The boss. The boss says.
President Obama ran last time as a man of hope and change. And you hear a lot of talk about how things are different now. Things aren't any different now. They're just realer. It's crunch time now.
Yeah, baby. You were born to run to the polling booth. Go. Bruce Springsteen says so. And he made Chris Christie cry like a little gal.
He did. That was adorbs.
That's the cutest story ever. He was talking to the president about storm stuff, and the president said, hang on, a guy named Bruce wants to say hi.
Baby, this town rips the bones from your back. It's a death trap.
I fail to believe that's the first time that they'd ever talked to each other. Is it really?
Springsteen, not a fan, till now.
Well, okay.
All right. So, happy election day, everybody. Wow, this is the morning of entirely too many stars. John Cho, he's Harold. From Harold and Kumar.
That's right.
And Sulu from the...
Morning, you guys.
From Star Trek. That's right.
Wow. Hi, John.
Hey, how are you?
Good. You have been obviously out there focusing mostly on the college vote?
Yes, I have. Been traveling around a bit and trying to get college kids to go register and vote. And today's a big day. I can't believe it's here.
I know. Most recently, you were in Nevada?
Most recently, I was in Colorado. I was in Nevada the weekend before, yeah.
Wow. How are things feeling? Those are two close states, yes?
You know, I feel pretty good. I'm cautiously optimistic, though. everyone was slapping me on the back on my way there. Everyone is so freaked out over here in California.
Right.
I felt like I was taking the burdens of my whole state over there. So.
Listen, we feel your pain. I was saying I cannot go to another party because I'm sick of people rattling me and asking for answers.
I know. They shake you by the lapels. As they
yes.
Out there.
They
I
do.
I don't have any lapels left in any of my clothes.
You're fresh out of lapels. No.
John, I think, you know, honestly, and I know that we're all, you know, on one side of the partisan divide, but you literally just keep, everybody says the same thing. They're like, how could this even be close? I honestly feel like Mitt Romney is such a pathetic candidate. I just, you know, when Joe Scarborough, you know, drops his head in his hands and just says, oh, sweet Jesus, he's watching Romney. I think, you know, when we keep hearing it so close, it really is kind of amazing.
I to me, what's strange is that he just seems so undefined. You know, it's not so much that I'm so opposed to him. I don't even know what to align myself against.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? So it's to me, it's strange that so many people have accepted his lack of substance. You know?
It's like running against political packing material. It's
like right.
Running against air. What does he stand for?
I do not know. Well, I guess there are some things we can glean, though. I mean, boy, if you're a woman, it's not the smart move to vote for this guy.
Are you saying you're unsure if I am? Or I'm sorry. Are you saying,
That's my point. That's my point. Are you or are you not?
I don't know how any carbon-based life form can vote for Romney. Seriously.
It is true. It's true. But, I mean, luckily we have a very clear choice and an opportunity today. I'm excited. I've been freaked out, but I woke up today optimistic and excited.
Yeah, me too. And I was saying that sometimes you got to just turn the TV off because I can't hear one more pundit say, oh, there's an enthusiasm gap. The youth turnout is not going to be there.
Right. I don't know. I'm just trying to decide what time I sit down and start, you know, start consuming the news. I don't know if I should wait for evening.
I thought you were going to say vodka.
Yeah, vodka. Trust me, I'm not turning the TV on today.
That's a simultaneous move.
I'm not turning the TV on until I have a beverage of some kind. So maybe a wine hat on.
Yeah. Wine hat?
Yes.
Well, John, I mean, I think that, you know, like I say, it's interesting. We've had literally so many surrogates, but from almost every state in the country say the same thing, that, you know, they're not seeing the things they're telling us we're seeing on TV, right?
They're not seeing the what sorts
like,
of things.
Like, you know, enthusiasm gap, and there's not going to be the turnout and this and that.
I mean, I've been out there, and what I see is people come up and tell me their stories all the time. It's really strange. It's almost like, and it's wonderful, people are waiting to tell you why they support the president. And it's for me, real people are with everyday concerns. These are the people that are voting for Barack Obama. And not only that, they've been working for him and volunteering for him. The enthusiasm is what has been largely moving for me.
Right. And I think that... that's the thing that drives me crazy. It was not going to be like, you know, the last time. It's like, well, that was historic. It was obviously we elected the first African American president in our history. It's not going to be the same, but that doesn't mean there's not enthusiasm and the desire to move forward, right?
Could there be? Of course, it's not going to be the same as last time. Nothing is the same as last time. It's just an ontological truth. But.
Why do you think they wrote that song the second time around? You know, sometimes things are better the second time around.
Right, and thankfully it's not like last time. It's not. The economy isn't as much in peril. There's still so much work to be done. I just feel like Obama has done. Has done so much in the last 4 years. I feel like just on that alone, he deserves to complete the 8-year cycle. Don't you think,
John? I do. The first time can be exciting, but it could also be messy and a little terrifying. And I think we all just need to.
I've lost track of what we're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
I like the direction this is going. Let's keep sharing.
Me too. Let's just bask in the afterglow tomorrow, John. John Cho from Harold and Kumar and Star Trek. Thanks, John.
Thank you very much.
He has a delightful man giggle.
That's great.
Yes, he does.
58 minutes after the hour. Oh, my God. Jake Gyllenhaal, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Rob Reiner.
What?
Wow.
What?
Next. We're all celebrityed up.
Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I feel good. Yes, it is. Why? Because it's Election Day. President Obama's going to win. And I get to say good morning, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Hey, Stephanie. What's going on? How you doing?
Oh, you make me giggly. Okay.
Look, you make me giggly, too.
Well, I'm a huge fan. And what a big day. And I know you've really been out there on the trail. How are you feeling today?
Good. You know, I haven't been so much out on the trail, but I am definitely out in support of getting people out there to vote, which is such an important thing always. I think it's sort of like a, you know, it's empowering as an American today to feel like you have the right to exercise your choice and who you want to be a leader of this great country of ours. So that's what I've been trying to do as much as possible.
Jake,
I'm feeling good. I'm actually feeling good. I'm feeling positive today, which is a nice thing.
Good. You know, I was reading a letter earlier today from an Iraq vet who watched a special about, you know, all these soldiers that have lost limbs, lost their life, trying to, you know, secure the vote for villages in Afghanistan, you know, and how important it is. I mean, what you just said, how important it is to vote.
Yeah, I think it's empowering, too. There's nothing better. You know, I remember, like, turning 18, being able to vote, you know, being able to get out there and say, this is who I want to be, the leader of my country, the leader of my state, whatever it might be. And I think that's what's so great about being an American. It's interesting to think that there are some people who won't go out there and vote. And to me, that's why it's great to be on the radio talking to you and telling people, go out and vote. It's empowering. It makes you feel great. You know, you have your little slip, you have your little button or your sticker, and you feel great.
Yeah, it's amazing how good a little sticker can make you feel.
It is. It's the little things. The little things that lead to the big things.
Right.
Not since green stamps. When I was a child, I felt so good about a sticker. Jake, have you always been political? And what do you feel the stakes are this time? Why are you involved this time?
Well, my go-to line always is, I think it's a strange time when actors have to act like politicians and politicians act like actors. Yeah. But I do feel like it's important to be involved in what's going on in the country and you know, having a right to say what you feel and believing in it strongly. And that's what it's about, to be an American, you know. So I don't know about political necessarily, but I do believe deeply in democracy, and I believe deeply in our government and who's going to lead it is the most important decision we can make. And so, yeah, I've been involved in that since I was a kid, even before I could vote. You know, my parents were always very politically involved, and it was important to them. And it's pretty inspirational when you get involved in it.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Los Angeles.
Angeles, here.
California.
Oh, you're a homeboy. Okay.
I'm a homeboy. You're making me giggle. Yeah.
But no, don't you hate? Like, that's the thing. It's hilarious. Like, the right wing is always very like, oh, who cares? Stupid Hollywood celebrities. Who cares what they think? Let's ask Meatloaf what he thinks about.
Well, I kind of believe that, too, I have to say. I sometimes hesitate, you know, to think about, like, you know, getting out there. But I think if you have an ability to talk in a larger format, I think it's incredibly important. And also never to criticize anybody what their opinion is. I mean, that's what it's about, being American. But I do feel like if you have the opportunity to get on a radio show or to talk to people and say, go out there, vote for who you believe in, and you have an ability to say who you might vote for, you know, I think that's important. And I don't think it's something to be criticized. It's what being American is all about.
You heard Jake Gyllenhaal, America. It's very, very important to be on the Stephanie Miller radio show and secondarily to get out there and vote today on Election Day.
That is the order. Yeah.
Jake, you know I don't want to quit you, but you knew I was going to do it, but you have. But you, they only gave us 4 minutes because you got a lot more places to go and people to talk to, but we so appreciate your time this morning.
Stephanie, thank you. Thanks for having me on the show, and really, I hope you get out there and get your little sticker.
I will. Jake,
all
thanks
right.
so much.
All right, have a good morning.
You
all
too.
Right.
Happy Election Day. There he goes. Oh, my God, he's been dreaming. Okay.
And uncharacteristically, I'm about to say something optimistic.
What?
Nate Silver's released his final 538 forecast. He projects 313 electoral votes for Barack Obama.
That's
225.
Quite a few.
Yeah. A chance of winning 90.9% versus 9.1%.
And we believe in math. We believe in fancy math and arithmetic, as Bill Clinton said. Yeah, go get it. Yes. He's got
Obama.
Yeah, all right. Jim, yeah, woo, woo. Who said, I've watched him fight for our country, stand by the middle class, the working class, the military, the education of our children, universal health care, women, the environment, and matters of national and domestic security. Who said that?
Nancy Wilson.
That's a good guess, though. Susan in Virginia.
Mm. Oh.
On why she's voting for Barack Obama. Jim, who said, the gifted 12-year-old I taught whose parents were deported and left her here with her grandmother will be allowed to stay and finish her education. She's been in the U.S. since age one. Who said that?
Ann Wilson.
No. Nobody in heart. It was actually Jamie in North Carolina. Who said, I want our president to place scientific evidence and risk management above electoral politics. Who said that?
Joe Walsh.
No.
Joe Walsh was not in heart.
I know. Okay.
A
Howard
man by
Lease.
The name
okay.
Of
Howard Lease.
Michael
okay.
Bloomberg from the city of Nueva York.
Michael from New York says.
Michael from New York on line two. All right. Don in Tampa, Florida, with a report from there. Hello, Don.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Yeah, I wanted to say that this the home of the worst governor in the United States, as Mr. Pierce was talking about, for sure. I think Rick Scott's budget here, which took care of corporations, is going to affect the women vote here, because all these state and local workers that got laid off are women. And I really think that that's one of the reasons that women are going to vote for Democrats this time around.
Yep, absolutely. And also because Cher told them to. Did you see this Kathy Griffin and Cher commercial?
I hope you'll join me in supporting Richard Murdoch for U.S. Senate.
Actually, Mitt, we won't be joining you because there's a lot at stake in this election, especially for women and people who like women and respect them.
I'm looking at you, gays, LGBTQIABCD. Look, the point is, this is not the election to be complacent.
Honestly, this is sick stuff. Richard Murdoch thinks pregnancy resulting from rape is a gift from God.
Is that not true?
No.
Okay.
Do you want this guy in the Senate? Maybe he can sit next to Todd Aiken, the Republican nominee from Missouri, who thinks that women's bodies magically shut down pregnancies that result from legitimate rape.
Is that how they magically attack?
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, look, these guys aren't running for town councilman, okay? They're running for the United States Senate.
And what about the guy that looks like Dracula?
Okay, luckily I speak Cher. She means Paul Ryan. Isn't that guy who thinks that women should only have the right to choose in cases of forcible rape?
I didn't know if there was such a thing as unforcible rape.
Well, there isn't, but enough Cher with you and your logic. The point is that Romney and his buddies are trying to turn back time on women's rights. Look, this is serious. It's all or nothing. We are talking about choice and fair pay and health care, one by one. I mean, they are basically acting like a bunch of gypsies, tramps, and thieves. If you believe... What?
We're trying to be serious.
I'm trying to let you be an icon.
All right, I am an icon.
All right, well, I'm kind of like a regional icon. Will you give me that at least? Yeah. All right.
So ladies in Des Moines, voters in Madison, voters in Portsmouth, voters in Fort Lauderdale, voters in Cleveland, we need you to do something for your country. We need you to come together, protect women's rights. So on November the 6th, go and vote. Make your friends vote. Call other people and tell them to vote.
Text your grandma. Talk to my 92-year-old alcoholic mother. Make that person vote. The person that's like, oh, it's a long day for me. I might want to go to the club later. Get that dude to vote. I mean, this is Cher, bitches. Do what she says. And God bless America. I'm Cher, and I approve this message. Romney wants to turn back time.
I was expecting her to say, we got you, babe.
Yeah, you know, there you go. She got almost all of it.
Yeah.
Another reason to love Cher, she's in a Twitter fight with Ann Romney.
Oh, God.
Stop it.
Stop it.
Stop it.
This is awesome.
If I could turn back time.
She tweeted it would be almost impossible for Obama to debate a liar who changes his mind at the drop of a hat. And that got Ann into a fury.
Stop it.
Which is not hard to do.
This is hard. You want to try it? Get in the ring. This is hard.
A source close to Ann said, Ann's attitude, she'd like to see Cher say those things to her face. I bet you Cher would.
Yeah, she would. Yeah, Cher definitely would. And Cher would win that fight.
You would be moonstruck. All right.
Oh,
really?
Snap out of it!
She would say snap out of it.
Snap out of it!
Oh, I would give cash money to see Cher smack
Ann
Romney.
All right, okay. Oh, no.
She's not a woman. Promote violence. No.
She hit Nicolas Cage.
Roxanne in Connecticut. You're on the Stephanie Miller. He had it coming.
Okay.
Hi, Roxanne.
Hi, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I'd like to say that when President Obama gets reelected for a second term, I think it should be announced that it was a gift from God.
Yeah, there you go. You would think Mitt Romney would have a way of shutting that down, but Oh, by the way, here he is quoting Annie on the campaign trail.
Oh, this is the awkwardest thing in the world.
Yeah, here we go.
Tomorrow, we begin a new tomorrow.
What?
Tomorrow, we begin a better tomorrow.
Oh.
Is that what they're getting in place tomorrow, of that Friday Night Lights
tomorrow.
Thing?
Always tomorrow.
To the last syllable of recorded time.
For you to go back to La Jolla. Okay.
Or he has a house in every state. So.
Okay.
He was almost quoting Macbeth there, which
is
interesting.
Yeah, that was weird. Right. 17 minutes after the hour, back with who's neck up next? Sarah Jessica Parker.
I know.
Wow.
Big.
Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, a freak show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I don't like it.
Twenty-one minutes after the hour. Happy Election Day, everybody.
Is this a fight song?
It's good enough. Okay. Why don't I get to say stuff like this every morning? Like, hello, Sarah Jessica Parker.
Hi, Stephanie Miller. I can't believe I'm talking to you.
Oh, stop it. I'm such a huge fan of yours.
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. I've been a great admirer of yours for years and years and years and years and years.
I am going to plot. Now I don't even care what happens today. After.
I was so excited to see your name on the schedule. Really, really pleased.
Aw, thank you so much. Well, I'm obviously a huge fan. I love my listeners are writing me, please ask her a question about square pegs. Oh, for God's sake. It's election day, people.
Speaking of square pegs, let's talk about Romney for a minute.
Hey, there you go.
What you did there? Okay, now, you've been politically involved, and that's another reason I've been a big fan of yours as well. This year, it's almost impossible not to get involved as a woman, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, that's certainly my impression of how important this election is, yes. And I think, that's... I mean, a previous interviewer asked me to kind of pick the most important issue of this campaign, this election. It's really hard to do because there's so much at stake. But I said really equality because it's really, there is so much at stake for women in this country and primarily that 47% of the population, women that, you know, Romney was so quick and happy to dismiss behind right. closed doors, those women who really, need and deserve the kind of advocacy that President Obama has shown over the last 4 years. And we have a Supreme Court. We have, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who has, been a, though tiny, a mighty and robust and important voice on the Supreme Court. It's likely that there will be an appointment in her place. I mean, right. But the issues with women, you know, turn into family issues, which turn into economic issues, and this election to think from the point of view of a woman is easy and important to do. And there was a great piece actually in the Times. You probably read it by Nicholas Kristof that I think summarized it, you know, incredibly well. It's titled "How Romney Would Treat Women." It was from November 3rd, and I think if people have a second to read it, it really paints the very scary portrait of what the next 4 years would look like under a Romney and Ryan administration for women.
Yep. Well, and by the way, like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you were also tiny and robust. And I know you had a big fundraiser for the president at your place in New York City, right?
We did on June 14th, yeah.
And it was awesome. Didn't an ordinary person get to go to your apartment?
Yes. Well, something very smart the Obama campaign did is that they opened up the opportunity, which, you know, was wonderful and really was the cherry on the sundae for me, was to meet these two extraordinary women who won the sweepstakes to come. They were incredible and interesting and smart and have really interesting lives and are doing important things. So it was really wonderful to meet them. Obviously, to sit next to the First Lady was a real privilege, and to have the president speak in our home with my son gazing up at him was a memory I will never forget. But I loved meeting our winners.
Now, did they ask you to see your shoe closet first, or what was the first order of, or did you get right into
you know,
politics?
Curiously enough, nobody was interested in my closet. The president and the first lady eclipsed my closet, which I was happy. I'm happy to report.
See, you've been political for a while, though. I mean, it just seems like, you know, everybody says it every time, like, oh, this is the most important election in our lifetime. But honestly, this one does feel like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I have been involved in a long time, and I always kind of like to point that out because my first campaign was for McGovern in 1972, and I come from a long line of Democrats, you know, working-class Democrats, union members, and I think it was really nice to be politicized early because it was much more about my community and my city, and only, you know, being an actress, I think sometimes I'm concerned kind of gets in the way of just being a citizen, that I don't want people to think that because I'm an actress, I feel I have a right to talk about it. It's really my only desire is to talk about the issues that are important. And this election, yeah, I thought that was the most important election of our lifetime. But I think this one is more so because when you really, really look at the two parties, the differences are so stark. There is so much at stake, and the extreme positions that Mitt Romney has adopted, his choice of a vice presidential candidate alone, is really, really scary for a better part of Americans. And they are Americans that have given the most to us. They are the middle class workers. They are the people who are not yet in the middle class, who have been working so hard to sort of gain that status. There are veterans. There are senior citizens. There are people that have worked incredibly hard and have played by the rules. And I think this is an election about jobs and justice. And I think that without Obama in the White House for the next 4 years, we will really, really feel an enormous and powerful change that I think is going to really hurt, once again, that 47% that Mitt Romney feels simply aren't important enough, and that I think in some ways he holds in contempt.
Let's trade reading suggestions. Jonathan Chait's piece in New York Magazine,
yeah.
I don't know if you read it, but about how Obama is the greatest president, he thinks, in his lifetime. And I have to say, I agree. He's gotten such an amazing amount done against absolute, complete obstructionism. I mean, look at what just happened in your hometown, Sarah, and look at how he worked with Chris Christie. And this is the hand he's been offering across the aisle all along, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think it's very easy, and it's been really a shameless stump speech for the last couple days of Mitt Romney talking about sort of the hate and the division that Obama has tried to perpetrate in some way. And I think it's ironic because it's the exact opposite. You know, Obama came to office wanting very much, and maybe naively, believed in, you know, this sort of civilized approach, the, you know, the sitting down and reaching across
and
the aisle, because he came from that.
That's why I think it's not going to work, and we're going to win today, because the narrative doesn't match reality. I mean, even if you don't agree with President Obama, does anyone really go, oh, what an angry, hateful guy? I mean, really?
No, I think it's, you know, I think it's a desperate last attempt at scaring people, of dividing people, of playing upon people's fears. You know, people are scared. It's been a really rough 4 years. President Obama inherited, as James Wilkie, my son, said the day he was elected, he's like, oh, my God, Mama, he inherited a bucket of crap. And he was scared, and he was right to be, and he has made really smart decisions. He has saved
the auto
industry.
We're out of time. I'm so sorry. I love you with the heat of 1,000 white-hot political suns. Thank you, Sarah Jessica Parker.
My pleasure. Thank you. Get out and vote, everybody.
Yes, thank you.
Stephanie Miller.
Don't toy with me, woman.
Especially not today.
Not today! 34 minutes after the hour. Happy election, everybody. Vote, vote, vote. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Sarah in Tennessee. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Mama. How you doing today?
Hi, baby. I'm all right. Go ahead.
I've already voted.
Yay.
Yay. Oh, go Obama.
Yep.
I wanted to give you a message, well, a message of hope and one of worry.
Okay.
Okay, here's the worry. Back in the Republican primary up in Iowa, Remember they had the Rick Perry oops?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, that's your worry. Here's the hope. If Mitt Romney is doing so well and so popular, why did he have to get the coal miners' boss to pull them out of work, mm-hmm. to stand behind him?
Yeah, exactly, as human props. And by the way, in a completely unrelated story, Chrysler has just given all their employees the day off to go vote.
Yeah.
I'm guessing kind of a giant you to Mitt Romney.
One could surmise that.
Just guessing. All right. What a day, Election Day. It's that time of the morning when I say, hi, Rob Reiner.
Hey, Stephanie Miller.
You were awesome on Real Time with Bill Maher.
Well, thank you very much, dear.
And as you were on Sexy Liberal Panel in New York City, you're just...
Well, I love doing your show. I love it. And I loved, it was a great, great night at the theater.
I know. We're just working you like a red-haired stepchild this election season. How are you feeling today?
I feel pretty good. I mean, I'm a Nate Silver guy.
Yes.
If Nate Silver is wrong, his whole career is over. He's got more at stake here than the two candidates.
You're absolutely right about that.
I bet you he's sweating more than any of us today.
No. But, I mean, he's up to 92%. Yeah. That feels pretty good. I don't know what that means, but I feel good. I mean, the thing that I feel best about is that the battleground states, the polls, have just basically not moved at all.
Right.
Since even before the conventions.
Right. Well, and I think, as Nate Silver says, the momentum is moving toward Obama in these last days, and he's saying whether it's because of the his hurricane response or the economic numbers, you don't know, but obviously that's always good in the last days, right?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that was interesting about the hurricane, I mean, it's the October surprise, everybody says, but it put in very stark relief the difference between how Republicans view government and how Democrats view government. Mm-hmm. Republicans are, every man for themselves, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and Democrats believe that government plays a role to lift us all and that we're all in this together, and I think Mother Nature delivered a very interesting stark reality there.
She's a Democrat, obviously.
Clearly.
Well, obviously she's a Democrat.
but also Michael Bloomberg was not going to get into this race at all and did. I think he and Colin Powell, Colin Powell are pretty powerful endorsements.
Well, I think the biggest endorsement was Chris Christie.
Yeah.
mean, he tried to walk back the endorsement after he said so many great things about the president by saying, well, I'm really for Mitt Romney, but,
No one believes him.
Yeah.
At least of all Romney.
Rob, the other thing, obviously, you're such our hero out here behind the, regarding marriage equality. Obviously, on the ballot in Maine, Maryland, Minnesota, and Washington today, I know Brad Pitt just gave $100,000 to the, National Marriage Fund, the HRC. How are you feeling about all
Feel pretty good about three of them. I mean, Maryland is a squeaker. I think in Washington will be fine. Minnesota, I think, it's the great thing about all this is that marriage equality, and gay rights have been on the ballot now 32 times, and we're 0-32. And so it's good. I think that for the first time we're going to see some victories here, which is a huge step forward because, we've got now up to 54% people in this country believe that gays, lesbians should have the right to marry.
I don't know if you saw this. I'll have to read this. We'll post it up on our site. But you can believe this. Last Thursday, the president took time to respond to a 10-year-old girl's letter about her two gay dads. And it's so beautiful, this letter the president wrote to this little girl. I mean, it's just one of the so many issues that I think.
No,
so
it is beautiful. And here's the thing. People who are on the side of broadening rights, giving more rights to people, they always win. I mean, whether it's, African American rights or it's women's rights, now gay rights, which is the last leg of the civil rights race that we're running here. Whenever you expand people's rights and give people equality, you tend to be on the right side. Even though there are forces that are pulling it down, eventually the right thing happens, and we're seeing that happen now in this country.
E.J. Dionne wrote a piece that gave me some hope, along those lines, Rob, because that's what he said. He said, I think tomorrow, meaning he wrote this yesterday, we're going to move forward, because that's what we do as people. That's what we tend to do as Americans.
It is. I mean, you know, there are a lot of forces that want to, you know, have every man for themselves and have, you know, rich people, you know, be the... I mean, it goes back, you know, it's essentially we're still in a civil war. You know, it's a political civil war that we're still in, and there are remnants of it. And we've seen that racism come rising to the surface here in this last election, when you have people like John Sununu saying that the only reason Colin Powell is supporting Obama is because he's black. I mean, this is stuff that's been submerged now for a while. It's coming to the forefront. So, I mean, you know, basically you've got a civil war that we're still fighting, and we're ultimately going to win. The right side will win this.
Yeah, Charlie Pierce said that this morning. This is the most racially disgusting campaign he's seen. I mean, because you're right, Rob, the difference is there is no difference now between the Rush Limbaughs and the official Romney surrogates anymore.
No, and that, it's very scary, and you know, they've hijacked that, you know, that Tea Party's hijacked that, you know, the Republicans. It'll be interesting if Obama wins, and I believe he will, what's going to happen in terms of, you know, comity, you know, not comedy. Comedy we
right.
always
comedy
have.
Comedy will be fine.
Comity, you know, in the House and the Senate. I mean, I think we have a chance of moving forward. I think if Romney were to win, it would be, I think, a disaster, because he's going to be held captive by those crazies on the right, and you know, he owes them, and he's going to be held captive. And then you're going to be in another 4 years of gridlock, when you're going to have Harry Reid, you know, basically filibustering everything. And I don't think we want that. I think we want to move forward. It's enough already. We want to start, you know, solving problems, and we can, because the Democrats have basically become the moderate Republicans. We've got a crazy right-wing Republican Party, and we basically have a middle-of-the-road party, which is the Democrats. We're not liberals anymore. There's no more liberals. I mean, all the policies are very, very middle-of-the-road.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And yet, if Romney loses tomorrow, you know the Rush Limbaughs are going to be saying it's because we went too moderate again.
Yes.
And then we say, yes, go further right. They'll definitely say that.
There's no question. They'll definitely say that.
Yes, that's it. You're not far right enough. That's exactly the problem.
Yeah.
But it really is, I mean, it's interesting, the whole, you know, it's a campaign slogan forward, but I mean, it really is backward. It's you know, the Bush tax cuts, even worse. It's back to that foreign policy. It's backwards, like you say, on equal pay for women, on equal rights, on marriage equality. I mean, it really, on every single issue, right?
It is. And you know, people are, you know, I think, and a lot of people are not sophisticated enough to understand that it does take a long time to dig yourself out of the worst economy since the Depression. Most economists will say that when you're in as bad an economic situation as we were in, it takes about 10 years to dig out of that. So we're well on our way. And in the next 4 years, you're going to see the unemployment rate go down. I mean, every indicator, you know, housing starts are up, you know, car sales are up, you know, unemployment is down, job creation is up. Every single indicator shows we're moving in the right direction. And I think for most people, you know, they don't feel it. In some cases, they don't feel it, and it's not moving fast enough for them. But, you know, these things don't move fast.
Yep. Rob Reiner, have I ever mentioned to you that I enjoy the movie American President?
No, you never said that to me.
Really?
And I feel like, as a friend of yours, you know, maybe you should once in a while compliment me.
Really? Well, I feel we're at one of those moments.
People want
where...
leadership, Mr. President. In the absence of genuine leadership, they'll listen to anyone who steps up to the microphone.
Sam.
They want leadership.
Sam.
They're so thirsty for it. Yes. They'll crawl through the desert toward a mirage, and when they discover there's no water, they'll drink the sand.
Ah. People don't drink the sand because they're thirsty. They drink the sand because they don't know the difference.
Last time storming the castle.
let's put everything in there.
Have we mentioned that Mitt Romney is a...
His name is Inigo Montoya.
I think the president is also a fan of American.
You killed my electoral chances.
I think the president is also a fan of American president, don't you? Because he literally said, I am president. He did that one.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a fan or not, but, you know, it's definitely seeped into the culture, so maybe he picked up on it.
I think it's because of my relentless clubbing of people with American president soundbites. He's given up.
You're my number one fan.
I just watched that the other day.
My ankles with a sledgehammer.
Yeah. We just made a whole Rob Reiner movie, Mishpuka.
I know.
Rob Reiner, I love you with the heat of 1,000 white-hot political suns.
Oh, thank you so much, Stephanie. Good luck today. Good luck to all of us progressives out there. I think it's going to be a good day for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, honey. Love you.
Okay,
kiss
bye.
Michelle.
Bye.
Kiss Michelle, you're smoking hot wife. Okay.
Remember when I mentioned, just offhand, guess the quote, Fred from Kuala Lumpur?
Yes.
I got an email from Jay from Kuala Lumpur.
Really?
So I can't believe you just mentioned KL. There are some Freds in Kuala Lumpur, expats. You can be certain there's at least one Jay in Kuala Lumpur, and he's a fan of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Really? We have a listener
there
in Kuala Lumpur.
And he watches our show almost every evening.
Wow. Jim just says it because it's the funniest Larry King word to say.
Yes.
Or, you know.
Hello.
For Kim Jong-il. or Tom Raga, Kuala Lumpur.
It's just a funny word.
It is.
Okay.
You can't go wrong.
45 minutes.
Kind of like Ouagadougou, which is the capital of some African country.
Or Shibuya.
There you go.
45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Makes me sick in a wonderful, wonderful way.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You got blood on your face, a big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place. We will rock you.
Yes.
Sing it.
Get it.
We will rock you.
Go vote. 50 minutes after the hour. And by the way, the Stephanie Miller Show reminds you, every time you don't vote, Ann Coulter eats a kitten. Someone just sent us that.
Yeah.
That's disturbing. All right. Wow. Do we have the greatest surrogates in the world? Just on this morning's show, actress Vivica Fox. We've had Alfre Woodard.
Woodard.
Did it.
You got
okay.
it right.
John Cho, Jake Gyllenhaal, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Rob Reiner. And as somebody also tweeted, our meathead beats their meatloaf. So
yes.
There.
Do we want to hear meatloaf singing?
No.
Okay.
Oh, guess who's working the phones for Obama? Neil Diamond. He actually said, if I call you, don't hang up. It's really me, and I need you.
Wow.
So if you pick up the phone and someone says, someone says that, it's actually him.
It's him.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And wow, looky here. Catherine Archuleta, Obama campaign political director, joins us now. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm feeling cautiously optimistic this morning. How are you?
I'm feeling very excited. I just came back from 10 days on the road meeting volunteers and voters all across the country, and I can tell you that they are fired up and ready to go.
and I'm guessing moving in a direction that would be considered forward.
Yes, with an exclamation point.
Yes, exactly.
I'm guessing I can just feel David Axelrod's love for his mustache, and he would not be threatening to shave it off unless he were very confident.
It is David Axelrod.
how are you guys feeling? I mean, obviously, I saw David on TV this morning. He seems, very confident. Obviously, we've got a lot of close polls, but the president's ahead in pretty much every battleground I've seen, correct?
Correct. And, the exciting thing for me as the political director and having had this opportunity to do this for the last 18 months has really been one that where I get to see the voters up close and personal. And as I said, I've been on the road for quite a long time now, and just back in Chicago late last night. And I am absolutely inspired by all the voters who are coming out and supporting the president, working long hours, knocking on doors, making phone calls. It's the only word I can find for it, Stephanie, is inspirational. It has been amazing in every part of every state that I've been to, whether it's a small rural town where I was in southern Virginia a couple of days ago, to, you know, big cities like Las Vegas or Richmond. It was just very, very exciting and heartwarming to see that people are giving up their time to make sure that the phones are worked and the doors are knocked on. So I'm feeling very good about what I've seen.
Catherine, is the campaign concerned at all about these voter suppression efforts? I mean, while it's inspiring that someone's standing in line 6 hours to vote in Florida, why are people having to stand in line for 6 hours to vote in Florida?
Well, you know, I think that there are some folks who believe that not every person should have the same access to voting. But
right,
I will tell you that state, county, and local officials in Florida are really working hard to accommodate the unprecedented lines, and we're working very closely with our attorneys. They're looking at all the polling locations around Florida and certainly across the country.
Yeah.
We're making sure that our volunteers and supporters are providing water and entertainment, making sure that they're shaded from the sun. And even as you know, as our lawyers work, our volunteers are working to make sure that those voters do get to vote. And you know, by the way, reminding everybody who is in line that if you're in line by 5 p.m. or closing time of the election day, you will get to vote. So they
okay.
will be accommodated.
Entertainment? Do you need me to go tell some jokes at any polling booth
you know,
here in L.A.?
I was just going to ask you if you were available. And, you know, you had quite a lineup this morning. We could take them too. But
I know they've been working
overtime. Yeah. All the folks you had on this morning are working overtime as surrogates for the president.
Yep.
Supporters for the last 2 years, and
yep.
So we're very honored to have them on our side.
Listen, I will take my voice deity here, Jim Ward, who will do a Mitt Romney impression. Trust me, everyone in that line will vote for President Obama.
You know, I should have traveled with him. I know.
Catherine, thanks so much for taking time for us on such an important day, and we urge everybody to get out there and vote. People have died for your right to vote, correct?
That's right. And I remember the only poll that counts is the one we take today.
Absolutely.
That's right. Catherine, thank you so much.
Okay.
Happy Election Day.
Okay. Thank
there
you so much.
All right. Forward. 2012.
Yes.
Forward.
Whew.
Jim, I got a couple. President Obama is committed to looking out for those voices who go unheard. Women, gays, the poor, the elderly. I appreciate his efforts are always pragmatic and educated rather than impulsive and quick. And Mitt Romney reminds me of every well-meaning yet overbearing male church leader who's ever underestimated me. Who said that?
Meatloaf.
No, that was a bad guess. That was Gerald Poole from Oregon. It's a fascinating piece. We should post this. Why we're voting President Obama. 9 Mormon women speak out.
Okay.
Wow.
Jim, who said, my family's roots in the Mormon church run as deep as Romney's, but Mitt Romney's plans for America are foreign to my faith and values. He's shown behind closed doors how he truly feels about our nation's poor and vulnerable, while Obama has sought to protect social programs, foreign aid, and real health care protections for those who desperately need it. I am an LDS woman proudly voting for Barack Obama. Who said that?
Chuck Norris.
No, that was a bad guess. I said it's a Kai Short of at-home mother in Las Vegas. All right, I'll try to do some easier ones. Go. Who said he's fighting to defend veterans, Social Security, and Medicare because millions of Latino seniors rely on them? Who said that?
Marcus Bachman.
No,
Christina in Florida.
Ah, so close.
Who said it's been wonderful to have President Obama as a champion for access to health care for all women in this country? Who said that?
Paul Ryan.
No, that was a really bad guess. Cecile Richards, who we had on earlier this morning.
That's right. We had everybody on this morning.
Mm-hmm. Who said reelecting Barack Obama would lead to a stronger economic recovery than would be the case were Mitt Romney to win November 6th? Who said that?
Tag.
No. Oh, well, that's a good guess, though. He probably did. Jared Bernstein, Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
All right. Wow, wee, do I have a lot of paperwork this morning. It's very... All right, Rocky in Jersey. Hi, Rocky. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, Stephanie, for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
We're the wait. Yeah, I'm still here without power, but we're my wife is getting everybody out to vote. We're breaking everybody out for the president.
Good.
And I hate to have to put you guys on a down note, but Lindsey Graham is cranking it up already.
Oh.
He's cranking it up for the impeachment process. He's he's crazy.
He needs to go back to telling the truth and saying that they're running out of old, angry white men. In the Republican Party, I say we're going to move forward tonight. Yes!
Don't live with your eyes closed.
Yeah.
Don't go back to the old ways. We must move forward.
Forward.
and called her right out on her douchey ways. Douchey. They have no reason, but we have the perfect plan. We must move forward and vote for the best man. Joe Barack. Joe Barack. We all.
Vote now. Go vote. Go vote. We'll see you tomorrow. Forward on the Stephanie Miller Show.